Can you hear this, Torah?
Yeah, I hear it great.
Yeah. This is this is the intro music, man. It's almost official. Welcome to the I Got Issues podcast with your hosts, Jason Maynard and
James Ryan.
And who else is here today?
And Michael Todoran.
The man.
Nice.
The man, the myth, the legend.
So, what's up?
Chilling, man. Chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Living this hard life.
It's a hard it's a hard life, man.
You know what it's about.
So,
I hear you got a some new stuff coming up. You guys did a little project together.
Yeah.
Thanks
to your boy. He did a lot of work putting together a little, you know, mini doco and stuff like that. And I was really flattered that he wanted to take that on about my work and, you know, a little bit about me. And so, yeah, we've been working on that for, what, a month now?
Yeah, it's been like a month, and it's I think it looks really good.
Yeah,
how is it coming along? Is it finished?
Yeah.
It's in the bag. That's it.
Yeah.
It's in the can?
It's in the can. That's what I was going to say.
Industry talk.
I feel like I'm a badass like film dude now, and I'm totally not. But I had to learn like all these things, like working with camera and like researching and stuff. And so I'll be talking to people. I'm like, you know, B-roll. Oh, you don't know what B-roll is? Jeez. I'm like, I just learned that last week, you know.
Did you just look this stuff up on like YouTube or like read about?
No, the guy who shot the interview is really experienced, and so he kind of broke down a lot of things really fast, you know. And then of course working with James and, you know, like emails back and forth, I learned a lot. And then watching, cuz I'm assuming you edit the I Got Issues video too, right? With you interviewing?
Yeah. James does all of the technical stuff.
Yeah. And I've been watching your interviews and I like them, dude. They're good.
James, they're fun. It's funny.
It's all a whole bunch of videos. And then, like, for me, it's easy. I just have to go out there and ask the questions or whatever. Yeah. But then James has to put it all together to create the flow and the story, like, however it's going to be all produced. Because it's not just shoot, interview, put it up, and that's it. It's like, it's a lot of stuff that goes behind it, and I don't know how to do it, so I'm glad he does it. Does a good job.
And I love doing it too, so it's all good.
That's perfect. And what you do, being in front of the camera to other people, that's not easy. You know, that would be like the worst thing in the world for somebody to be like, what? Go up to somebody random and ask them a question? So it's good that we have different, you know, skills and personalities and stuff, so
that works. Intense. So what's this documentary really about? Does it have a name? Does it have a working title?
Dude, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. What is...
I've just been calling it Todoran Mini Doco. I mean, that's what it is. So,
that's pretty much what it is, yeah.
So part one, part two.
I like the whole, like, the fist, you know? The hard work, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. At first, I didn't know if I wanted to do that or not. I thought maybe it would overshadow, you know, some things. But the guy filming, he was all about it, and so I thought it's cool. You know, it's dynamic.
Shoot it anyways, and if it gets used, it gets used. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, pretty much. So
it's left on the cutting room floor, I think, is what they say.
that's what they say, yeah.
Well, ask me, because I know everything about film now. So.
You guys are film professionals.
Film buffs now.
Dude, if anything, I give so much more respect to editing and cameramen and soundmen and lighting. And it's like, wow. It's like design on a whole different level. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it totally is, man. It's like, sometimes when you go and watch a movie, you just see like the stars on the screen, right? But you forget there's all this work that goes on behind it.
Yeah.
The lighting, the sound guys, like all that stuff. Sometimes it's good to sit and like watch those credits go by and see like how much work goes into all these movies that we see. You know, we always sort of just take it for granted, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So yeah. So thanks for that. And yeah, I was so nervous about like when I sent you that email before I sent you the first notes.
Yeah.
I was like, I sent him this like huge email. I was like, look, I've been designing for, you know. Because we've met not face to face, but Skype.
Yeah, like briefly, yeah.
But never like in person. So it was like, yeah. You know, when I send notes on something, it's like, it could be pages, you know? So he sent the first draft, and I was like, all right, before I send you my first notes, just know that.
This like, is coming from a good place. And I totally get it. The other thing is, too, it's like, it's you, right? Like, so yeah. you want it to represent you in the best way possible, right? So,
yeah, that and just I can't help it. You know what I mean? It's just like I gotta do it. And then I showed it to my sister, and she, you know, was a photographer and went to art school, and she was sending notes, and I was like, oh, okay, that's. She's like, well, what about this? I'm like, I just dismissed it. I was like, we got this, you know, like, so.
How did you come up with, like, what made you want to do a documentary on yourself?
Well, I didn't, I mean, I had thought about it, but I never wanted to do it because I thought it would be really weird to put one out yourself, you know, it's like, oh, hey, look at me, like, you know, kind of, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but for me, I was like, oh, well, who do you think you are, like, you know, yeah. Making this? And then, so I just never pursued it because I was like, I just didn't feel comfortable. But then after I mailed you the second set of prints and you got those and you liked them so much, you were like, dude, I really want to do a doco. And so I said, all right, you know, if somebody else wants to do it, then I'm game, you know. And that way it's less douchey because I could just see myself at like a place and someone's like, oh, you know, who did that? I'll be like, well, I did.
This is the story of my life. This is who I am. Yeah.
But now I would do it. Now I would do like a part two by myself because I'll be like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. But it's just that confidence issue, I guess.
Even so. I'm sure it's good. I haven't seen it. So I'm anxious to see. How long is it?
It's two parts. One's 8, one's 6, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to start telling people about it? Because I haven't seen any.
Well, our plan is this. I have a place in Santa Monica, and on May 4th, we're going to do a public screening.
Oh, I did see that, actually.
Yeah, and then that'll just be like my friends and some family and things like that. And then after that, we'll probably release part one and then a week later part two. Is that what you're thinking?
That makes sense. That totally makes sense. That's good.
Yeah. But anyway, dude, what else has been going on? Dude, you went to Panama, dude. We never even talked about GSP Diaz.
No. I do a lot of, my life is pretty hectic, so nonstop. GSP Diaz, GSP got the win, boring fight as usual, typical GSP style.
What? I thought Nick won.
Are you crazy?
I'm just kidding. I wanted him to win, but I knew, I didn't, he just, if he needs to change camps, and he never will.
I think that they just got rid of their manager, Cesar Gracie.
Yeah.
I think that they're changing camps. But I don't know. It's pretty boring. Typical, like, GSP take him down, hold him down.
Yeah.
And then 25 minutes goes by. Like, I even got up. I was there, and I left. I went to the washroom, like, go for a cigarette break. Like,
wow.
Like, I know it's going to go the full 25 minutes, so I'll be back.
You're getting, like, your nails done, just like hanging out, come back.
It's boring, but the Canadian crowd in Montreal is crazy.
Were you there?
Yeah.
You were at the.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember seeing pics. That's awesome, dude.
And that guy's he's a rock star in Montreal. Like they really love him. And like even those fights are boring, incredibly boring.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh well, it's his style, and he just dominates them. Whatever. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Why don't you knock somebody out every once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
his brother just got knocked out.
Yep. Just last night.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. I didn't see that coming, but, you know, it could happen to anybody.
Oh, you put on those small gloves, man.
I know, right?
Very, very dangerous.
Yeah. And,
so I did that. I went to Panama. Panama was dope. Panama City.
Yeah.
So, it was fun. Yeah.
Talk about it, man.
We can get back to it if you want. It's all good.
I went to Panama City with my girlfriend. Flew to Panama City. Panama City's like a cool place. It's like a really modern, big city. There are some cool different pockets in Panama City. There's the old town. And we went there, checked it out. It's like pretty cool. It was my vision of what Panama was going to be like. I'm not really that down with Panama City. Looks like Toronto almost. Like, well, it's just like tons of skyscrapers, giant buildings, huge hotels. They got like the Hard Rock Hotel is like 60 stories.
What?
They got like all these gigantic skyscrapers and stuff. So it's like a big time regular city. And I was just like, it's like not that interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the old town is like cool because it's like old stuff. Like,
wow.
You tell like there's a lot of history there, and to me that's more interesting. They got like cool restaurants, and it's all being restored, so there's a lot of construction going on. But that was cool. Went to the Panama Canal. You have to go there.
Yeah. Did you go through the locks or you just walked?
I go through the locks like 8 hours.
Wow.
I don't got that kind of time to waste.
No. Yeah.
It's you have to go because you can't go to Panama and not go to the canal. It'd be like going to Paris and not going to see the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly.
So, you know, but it's not that impressive to me. I wasn't blown away. It's pretty average looking.
Like, yeah, well, it's very industrial, right? Like, it's very the aesthetics of it.
It's like humongous ships, like that's cool, but it's no different than any other locks.
Right.
You can see in every. You can go up like 20 minutes away from Toronto and there's some locks. You can go check it out.
Yeah.
It's not scale, but
yeah,
it's whatever. I thought it was boring. I wasn't that impressed. But.
Yeah. I mean, if you're familiar with locks, it could be boring, but if you know, if that's the first time you're seeing, that's a engineering feat, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Thing is, there's a little, like a museum there, and you go through the museum, and it like gives you like you even watch a like 10-minute video of like the entire history of how Panama Canal was done, and the French were there first trying to build this, but they got killed by mosquitoes and
wow,
like they lost too many people and lives were lost and money was lost. They couldn't get it done because they couldn't beat the mosquitoes or the elements and the weather and the heat and the bugs was too much for them, so they backed off. And then the Americans came in and used some Caribbeans and a lot of Jamaicans.
Damn.
Came down, dug it all up, made it all the way through. But it's like it's impressive how they did it. Like it's cool and it's super important to the world. It's used by, like everybody trying to ship stuff.
It's outdated almost now. Now the ships are getting too big.
So they're building in. They're building another, like a canal, like right beside it. That's
wow.
For the bigger boats.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But it's like the only point where they can do it, and they have to use it because it takes you months to get around, to go around South America and come up on the other side.
Yeah, it's worth it, I guess. Right.
They pay hundreds of thousands, like, they're like, see that boat right there? They pay like $150,000 to get that, to move that boat through the canal. And the money has to be paid in advance. And it's like all scheduled and all set up.
Wow.
So they're making big time bucks.
Wow.
Just moving people along. But it takes a long time to go through. It's like,
yeah.
I didn't want to wait around for this big boat. I could see it, but they're like, it's going to be here in 3 hours. I'm like, I get the drift. I watch like a canoe. I watch like a little boat, little tiny boat go through.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Cool.
And then what about you, James, man? What you been up to?
Living life, man.
Yeah?
I don't know, man. Just trying to get some more videography stuff going. Yeah. Taking pictures. Actually, just, I guess, outside of, like, this work stuff, I had a housewarming party.
Oh, cool.
Last night, which was really good.
Cool.
Really good. A lot of good people, a lot of good vibes. Everyone liked the new place. They love the photography, too. Makes my place look like an art gallery.
Oh, right on. How many did you end up framing?
Two so far.
Two, and you got a total of... 7, I think, right? No.
5.
5, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, I just need to get some more picture frames and just set up the other one. So it's going to be nice, man. It's going to add like a nice accent to like my apartment. So it's really good. Got a lot of compliments on them too.
Oh,
so.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man.
It's cool too, cuz it's like there's a whole story behind the pictures too, right? So
yeah.
That's I don't know. For me, that's what really does it too. It's pretty amazing.
Do I know the story behind the pictures?
Well, yeah, it's just the whole connection. Like Instagram, I think you guys connected on Instagram, and we did a podcast. Website, and I was like taking swimming lessons at the time. I was like, man, this is crazy how
it's
connected. And now I'm taking swimming lessons, and you have these pool series, and then you know
now a doco.
Oh, you know what I mean? It's technical. It's amazing, man, how it connects everybody together and we get all these things done.
Yeah, it really still kind of blows me away, but yeah. That's cool. So what did you learn from doing this?
What did I, man, shit.
Or
did you learn any new techniques? Did you have to look up any lighting or editing stuff?
I don't know, man. I find I just learn on the go.
Yeah.
But I sort of have like a vision of how I want things to run. And then it's like, you know what? Let me see if I can do this. And once you know how to run like one program, you could sort of figure out other programs.
Right.
Because I've been with like Photoshop, InDesign, all those sort of like Adobe Suite programs. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about this project. It just felt good to do this. It was really good. It's sort of like completing the circle of all the connections that have happened already.
Yeah.
That's cool. Man, I learned some new techniques. That whole Vice, like the rolling credits at the end.
Yeah.
Part one, that was cool. I like that. It looks really good, that whole thing.
Yeah. I thought that they do a really good job. And now that I'm watching like Vice
on HBO.
Not so much on HBO, on their website. I've been going to a lot. We don't have HBO. We have like a basic cable package. So, but just even their like little documentaries, they just do a good job. You know, they have that Fightland now, like where they interview, like, are you familiar with that?
No.
If you go to Fightland, like fightland.com, it's Vice's website. I mean, it's the Vice company, but it's all about MMA.
Ah, cool.
So they interview like Clay Guida and everybody, you know, and they edit it. And so now when I look at it, I'm like, you know, looking at ratios like aspect ratio and the ratio to interview versus B-roll. And
yeah.
I think it's 50-50. I think you want, well, I don't think you want, but I think like their style is 50% B-roll, 50% interview.
Yeah.
What is this B-roll?
So basically, you know when you watch like a interview or a documentary on somebody?
Yes.
So let's say if they're talking about like GSP.
Trees, and then they show some trees and they go with the video and then they start showing some pictures of trees?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Or like him doing mitts or, you know, or... or rolling or something like that. But it's weird because I never really noticed it before, like the transitions. You just kind of get lost in it. What's that?
Yeah, you just don't think of it because you're just so used to just seeing it happen.
Yeah. So, so that's pretty cool. Did I explain that right? Is that about right?
You got it, man. You're in the industry now.
I need like a Hollywood name now.
Well, you'll have to change your Hollywood name. I don't know, Swartz.
Something like that. I live in Culver City. Well, I live in Mar Vista, which is a pocket between Venice Beach and Culver City. And Culver City is this huge filming industry. I think Paramount's here. And so there's a lot of, like, you know, they filmed Little Rascals here back in the day, and they still do tons of filming. And I'll have business up in Hollywood. So, you know, it's weird being in a movie town again.
Yeah, there was the move back to Cali. What did that just happen for any particular reason, or?
Well, it kind of played out like, so last time I talked to you guys, I was in Ohio, and I either just graduated or was about to graduate. I can't remember. But my wife's mom was sick, and so she came back to LA while I stayed in Ohio, and then her sister, while she was here, she was like, why don't you just come live with us? You're done with school. You know, you're looking for work. Why don't you look for work out here? And so we said, okay. So I just packed up the minivan and a U-Haul truck and came out to Cali, and about a month later got a job with a landscape architect. And now I'm just learning about plants, lots and lots of plants and trees, and so irrigation, tree reports. It's cool.
You like it, yeah?
I love it, dude. My job kicks ass, dude. For me, you know, like I love the work. So, it's good.
What is it about plants that you'd need to know? I guess like how long they last and what sort of climates they can.
The first thing you need to know is the Latin name of it,
okay.
Which is kind of like in the industry, like you won't get any respect if you're just like, oh, look at that
apple tree.
Yeah, yeah. Like you have to say like, oh, that's a Circus canadensis or, you know, whatever, because that way, I don't know. That's huge. Like, That's like you have to be able to know as much as like an arborist, like, you know, like a tree expert, or pretty damn close. But then you have to know like climates. You have to know whether they're drought tolerant. You have to know whether, like, the city of Santa Monica will only allow certain plants on their list for commercial. So you have to know, you know, which ones will work, which ones they'll accept. And like, you know, if they get diseases, obviously you don't want to plant, you know, trees that, you know, can get like a borer or something like that. So,
and I guess from like a design perspective too, you want to know like what fits with like your design that you're going to use for.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to learn, is like, you know, there'll be you could do it basically like color. And then you could do which plant works with which plant is a specimen plant. Like, it looks so dope that you want it by itself. You don't want it crowded behind a bunch of trees. There's like this one plant called a Europhobia tricolia, which is a fire stick plant. And if you Google it, you'll see like, wow, it's so interesting. Interesting. You don't want to put it with something else, you know, you want it. So I know like this much, like I know nothing in the industry. Like for 20 years, I'll be learning about landscape architecture. So it's, to me, that's exciting. Cause I won't get bored, you know?
Yeah. You just crack the surface, man.
Just, yeah. Like she even told me, she's like, you don't know anything. I was like, okay. I was like, I spent a lot of money and time at school to be told that.
You can't even fake it.
You know, you can't. Not this. Like in art, you could fake it. I did a lot. You know what I mean? Like at shows and stuff like that. You know, just talk some bullshit and drop some big words, and people are like, oh, that's fascinating. But with like irrigation, if the plant dies, you can't, you know, how do you fake that? You know, just be like, yeah, I don't know.
Start speaking Latin.
Yeah, just be like, well, the ratio of hydrogen to oxygen particles in your water is different, so it died. Sorry.
So what's going on in the United States? What's the big news of the week there?
Boston
Marathon.
Boston. What are you guys? I'm sure that made it up there.
No, never heard of it.
that was big news, man. It's
nonstop.
Yeah, it's too much, right?
Yeah.
I think it's too much.
Yeah. I don't think it's too much. Or something like that. It's an important event that's going on.
I'll tell you why it's too much, James.
Why?
All right, tell me.
I'll tell you.
All right.
The reason why it's too much is because you put this, the explosions go off or whatever. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They find they get the pictures of these two dudes.
Yeah.
Okay, now CNN or whatever you watch, Fox News or any other news outlet, they just start going around talking to the dudes, the paper man, and you talked to him 3 months ago, and how was he reacting, how was he acting? Like, they're trying to fill in all this
time.
They have to fill in all this time because they're going to now 24-hour Boston Marathon explosion coverage.
They need some B-roll.
And they're just filling up time with nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's all nothing talk. They're like, oh, so you went to school with him. What was he like? He's a regular kid.
Yeah.
And like, they talk to 10 kids and they all say, oh, he's a really nice guy. He's a really nice guy. He's a really nice guy. Well, I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you like, oh yeah, we thought he was going to be a terrorist. Yeah. There's something like nobody. So, and they just get all the same stuff and it's just nonstop for 24 hours until they like either catch them or until there's an outcome. Like, so they have to fill in all this gap with just bullshit. And it's literally all like just nonsense talk. And I don't like that. I think it's too much. It's like, okay. And then they made a mistake, CNN. They said that they caught the guy and it was like a dark-skinned dude. And then they were completely wrong.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree
with you on that. That's why my news is super limited. I don't watch – like Fox News is the worst. I never watch that. I watch Al Jazeera.
Yeah,
that's where I get. If I want to go, I'll do that and BBC. And I don't like American news. It's all sensationalism. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like this and pow and boom and you know, it's like, I don't know.
It really is over sensationalized, I think. And I posted something. I mean, just so people would like just have a different thought or a different perspective on the same day that the Boston Marathon bombs went off. There was also like, there's so many other things that happen all around the world and in other places. Not to say that one tragedy is better, bigger than another, but it's like some stuff, there's all this other stuff that gets zero acknowledgement. Like it doesn't even matter.
Right.
And that this is the only thing that's going on in the entire world. And it's not, there's like so many other problems, but it's just what they give to you, what they're spoon feeding you, what they want you to.
Well, it's happening in their own backyard.
Yeah, right? But it's happened. This is Canada, and I have to listen to the 1010 talk radio station, and it's a 24-hour Boston. They're talking to people on the streets, like about nothing, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
Interviews all day long, and it's like, I know like we're the next door neighbor, but. Now and then I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, what else is going on that they don't want me to know about while they're clouding my brain with the Boston Marathon bombings?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It's a bit much, you know. But yeah, I guess that's been the big news here. Not that you know, maybe total time, I got like 10 minutes of news of it. You know, me personally, I just kind of got what I needed and, you know, did my prayers on it and, you know, for the victims and the family and the people who did it, obviously, you know, you got to pray for them too, because something's not right with them. And whenever something's not right with anybody, you want, you know, you hope that, you know, like, or whatever it is brings somebody to do that, that's a disease in some regard, right? Whether it's mentally or chemically or socially or environmentally, or
they're just assholes,
or yeah, you know. So, you know, but
it's pretty wild. I don't know. I see stuff like that, and then I'm so jaded by the media. Like, I don't, and it's so unfortunate that there's so much disinformation, and there's so much nonsense that goes on with like the real stuff. So it's hard to, like, I don't know what to believe when I hear stories like this. I'm like, you know, and then there's always all these conspiracy theories on social media. Like, so now it's like, you can't just have a tragedy. Like, these two dudes could have won out and just blew it all up. But then it's like, now I feel like I have to, like, question, like, even if they did it, or if they did it, or if it's a setup, or
you should always question them, no matter
what. I know that you should, but sometimes I feel like that's not, like, I don't want to, I'd like to be able to take stuff I like face value for, like, what it's like, this happened and it's just because somebody went crazy, like, this is what happened. I don't want to have to think about somebody doing something, a false flag, so that they can go in Russia now or something.
Well, crazy. Gun control, that's the big thing here. That's the real issue.
That just didn't get passed.
Which is really like kind of crazy, because I don't know where you guys' stance are on that, but I'm very pro-gun and pro, like, you know, we have the right to have them, and, you know, I just don't want the argument getting so emotional, because it's like, you know, I think, you know, Joe Rogan says the best, where's the conversation that all these big shootings, everyone has been on an antidepressant and, sure, and recently got off of it, you know, like, where's that conversation? You know, but that's big pharma, and you don't mess with big pharma. Like, you know, news companies don't want to touch them, because who pays more money for advertising than big pharmaceutical companies?
Nope.
You know, nobody.
So, I still think tons of these conversations need to be had.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I don't think people are trying to take away guns from people, but I think they're trying to take away, like, semi-automatic assault rifles.
Well,
and I don't think that should be a problem. I should think people should be like, I guess I don't really need a 100-round clip.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think people should be like, you know, that's fair, because it's not like there's not gun control. There is gun control, and your rights have already been taken away, because you can't have a machine gun.
Right.
A regular citizen can't have a machine gun. Now, the government says you're not allowed to have it. So they've already put controls out there. So what's the difference between a machine gun and whatever that?
Well, put it this way. The difference, so California and Arizona are bordering states. I mean, yeah, states.
Yeah.
And when you're in Arizona, and this is a very surreal feeling, is you could, and you can, and you see it all the time, of people walking around with guns on their hips. Yeah. Like, 18 years old, and you got a 9mm or 45mm right on your hip, right in the open, right at a gas station. And I've been in those towns, and I like it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel more safe in that situation than, you know, in a place where, you know, it's like, I feel safer in Arizona in those towns than I do, like, in New York or, like, downtown LA or something like that. And California's got, like, the strictest one of the strictest gun laws. And, like, you would never do that. Well, one, it's illegal, and then two, you just, you know, it wouldn't fly. I mean, I don't know where I was really going with this, but that's a big contrast, you know. Yeah. Same country, but two different states. And so, I know where I was going with it. So where I was going with it is, like, Arizona's been really strong about holding on to those beliefs and maintaining that. And I guess the fear is that, like, you know, people that are pro-gun and stuff don't want it to get to the point where it is like in California, where it's like basically you can't, you know, it's almost impossible to have a gun or a concealed, you know, weapons permit or, you know. So
what's the for me, like, if I was walking around and I saw a whole bunch of, like, guys with guns, I'd maybe, because I'm Canadian, I'd be freaked out.
Yeah,
for an old-fashioned Western shootout.
And I'm just like, what's like the majority of, like, Arizona is like, what's their
demographic, or
what's their demographic? Is it, like, mainly Caucasians there?
Mexicans.
Well, there's you know, yeah, I'd say it's a lot of, you know, let's go ahead and just say white people.
But I'm pretty sure the majority of the people in the United States are white people.
I don't know. You know what? I think I saw something that said that, I think 2012, I don't know if it was the state or the whole, I think it was probably a state. I think in California, 2012, according to the 2010 census, because, you know, it takes a couple of years to process it. It's the first where white people are now the minority.
Oh, thank God.
So, I guess that's happening. Of course, you know, you'd have to fact check me and stuff, but I remember seeing that and I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, like, my kid's mixed race and, you know,
I do believe you're right. And it could be the whole country, but I don't know. We got 300 million people, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I would still think the majority of the people are Caucasian.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to do with that. Maybe that has something to do with the demographics of these different places where people are pro-gun.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if it's, like, mainly, like, in the whiter states, people are more pro-gun, and in the states where there's, you know, more minorities, it's not a pro-gun state. I don't know. I wonder if there's some sort of correlation.
You think minorities don't like guns?
No, I think it's more of a liberal.
Like, not that, but I mean, like, the states where that's more of, I don't know, like, more of an issue is in the Caucasian, the white dominated states.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just throwing something out there. I'm not too 100% sure.
I'd say there's a logic to that, but I think it borders more along the lines of red or blue, of Democrat or Republican states. So Arizona's very Republican. And then in the South, you know, the races are split, but it's still Republican, you know, like, dominant. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a crazy issue, and I don't even really like talking about it because
no, because it could get pretty deep, man. Because, like,
because
if you really think about it, man, like, there's always that. I don't know. There probably is some sort of connection between, you know, the state, like, the southern states, where they probably want to hold on to guns, and the fact that there's like more racism in these states.
Yeah, but they also went through, like, a civil war. They needed to have all of their weapons.
No, but and they also went through slavery as well, right? So those states that we went through where they're, like, pro-gun, they probably had slaves.
Oh, absolutely. But Arizona didn't.
Yeah.
Arizona didn't. Arizona's on the West Coast.
Okay. Yeah. And so, West Coast isn't a factor, but everybody on the East Coast, that's where everybody came from into the New World.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
It'd be interesting to see, like, what the link is.
Well, the crazy thing for me was, like, when that whole, you know, the last shooting in, what was it, Connecticut?
Newtown, Connecticut.
Like, when that happen, you know, all, like, I saw so many people being like, you know, like, what I don't want is, like, the whole, like, when 9/11 happened, the whole Patriot Act, and look where that led us. Now we have the whole National Defense Authorization Act and all that stuff, and that was a direct descendants from the decrease of power. Like, look, if they take away guns or whatever, I won't be happy, but I'll be like, all right, you know, I just don't want it done from a knee-jerk panic reaction, you know.
That'll ever happen, though. I think, like, they'll never be able to take that away. Everybody will be able to have guns, but it's just going to be the types of guns, like, people, like,
you're only limited, like, to a certain few.
Yeah, like, you can't have a semi-automatic assault rifle. I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you can have them, but maybe they only sell clips with 10 bullets. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If you can't get your target in 10 bullets, you probably shouldn't be shooting anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's a weird topic. I'm against guns. I think they're silly, but whatever. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I think if you have a gun, it's just like if you have one, if you have a gun and another person has a gun, two people pull a gun, somebody better be ready to pull the trigger. And yeah. To me, that's dangerous. Whereas if you don't have a gun and one other person does have a gun, I don't know. Maybe, I guess they could kill you, but you might just have to give up your shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but I get why, you know, they don't want it to turn into crazy, and then the government just starts killing everybody because they have all the weapons. So I get it, but there's got to be.
We're Canadians up here, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that is a valid.
Yeah.
That is a valid perception thing too, as well. You know, the whole Canada, you know, U.S. thing, and I tend to lean more conservative on this issue. But a lot more liberal on different issues. But I don't know. I guess because when I grew up, my stepdad was a hunter. And, you know, when he hooked up with my mom and we started living with him, my mom was like, well, I don't know how I feel about my kids in this house with all these guns. So he took us out to the desert in Vegas and taught every single one of us how to shoot, how to hold them, and be totally comfortable with them. And that's it. The whole fascination and interest was gone because the whole, like, it wasn't a mystery anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we were trained and comfortable. And here's another thing that's pretty crazy. So remember the Rodney King riots?
Yeah.
So we were in L.A. at that time, and, you know, our neighbor was this Italian guy, and he was like one of the toughest dudes that I know. And he'd always give our family shit because he'd always be like, why do you guys have all those guns and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just not being serious, but just always kind of being like, that's crazy, you know. And then those riots broke out, and it was crazy because, you know, like, my sister was driving, and she had, like, rocks thrown at her, and, you know, like, there was, like, kind of fires creeping up towards our neighborhoods, and then my neighbor came to our house and was like, hey, you know, do you have an extra gun? Like, this is getting kind of crazy. So it's weird, and, you know, and it's like, you talk with, like, you know, the Koreans, they were like a lot of their stores were the only stores that didn't get burnt down because they were out front with fully automatics, just being like, hey, you're not, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's crazy. It's a crazy,
it's a crazy thing. I don't know. Did you watch the Alex Jones, Piers Morgan, showdown?
No.
No. On CNN.
Were they talking about,
oh, do you know who Alex Jones is?
Yeah, I know who Alex Jones is. That he's cool, man. He's crazy, but he's cool.
He went off his rocker on Piers Morgan. If you go to YouTube, you can watch
it. I'll watch it, yeah.
He went pretty wild. And
what was he saying?
Oh well, he's a full-out conspiracy theorist type of guy. But he just pulled out a whole bunch of statistics, but then Pierce went back at him with like other statistics, and it was just a different like philosophies. He's pro-gun, doesn't want to see any of the guns taken away, and Pierce Morgan is like, something's got to be changed.
Yeah. With
the guns. Like, and Pierce Morgan's like, you know, we're in the UK, that like in a major city, blah, blah, they have like 30 murders a year.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how many murders are like in Chicago or, you know, any of the other major cities? Or even if you go for the full country, there's like thousands of murders in the United States, where there's like, in the UK, there's like 30 a year. In Canada, we'll have less murders for a whole country than Philadelphia has in a month.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. You know,
but you have to take something into consideration.
What's that?
To take things into consideration, you guys have 10 times the population we do, but even if you were to multiply it by 10, it doesn't get
close to how many that we have. Yeah.
Right, but then again, also, you know, I re-bring back up the whole Arizona thing, which has, like, I would say probably the most, you know, lenient gun laws, and I think their murder rate is less than California or New York, that probably has the most stringent gun laws. So, it's hard to take it as a collective, and make projections that way, because without that being taken into consideration, it's kind of like skewed statistics. So, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. There's no easy, there's no easy, because Pandora's already out of the box. Like, people already have them. If nobody had them, and they're like, the question was, hey, should we have guns or not? That's a pretty easy conversation. It's like, well, no, we're doing pretty good. But now to take it away, that's...
You can't do it. It's too late.
Yeah, so who knows? Wait.
So are you a super religious dude or what?
Well,
now we're talking about like more stuff. You know, like the three things you're not supposed to talk about.
Listen,
the
mind is like, well,
politics, religion.
Yeah, well, we're not at a dinner table. You know what I mean?
right away. Well, you said he was praying for, you know, the victims. And
yeah, I don't subscribe to Catholicism or Christian or, you know, anything like that, but when I say prayer, I say it because I think that's the easiest way for people to understand what I'm doing. But I'm not really like
sitting on your knees in front of your bed.
No,
together.
No, I will do that. I will humble myself to like the universe if I need to on something major, you know. But like for the most part, like it's me talking to the whole, like, is as if we're all one energy, right? And it's like, oh, you're putting out good vibes, you know what I mean? Like, I could feel it. To me, it's just like that, but concentrated. So it's like, you know, you say, hey man, you know, James is having a tough time right now, then I'll just put a concentrated vibe in his direction and hope that he picks it up. And then I think, like, if 3,000 people are putting out that vibe, then that can't be bad, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So no, I'm not religious in the, you know, in the traditional sense, but yes, I would say that I'm spiritual. And I use the word God and prayer as an easy default for people to understand, but when people inquire more, like you, then it's a larger answer.
I see.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering.
Yeah. So
see how crazy you really are.
Yeah. After my whole gun talk, though, I feel like I'm coming off like I should have like a rebel flag behind me or something like that.
Sort of Catholic.
What's that? What's that?
No, you're not, because you're like very, I can like tell, like, you're I didn't think that you subscribe to a religion. So when you said that you're praying for people, it sort of threw me off guard for a bit.
Yeah, it does catch people off guard, and I bless my food before I eat every time, probably without fail. And then I get a lot of weird looks about that, and people are like, "Wow, that's so shocking!" Like, what? Like, even, you know, how shocking is it that how do I come across that it's that shocking that I'm praying before I eat, you know? Hi, baby. You want to see my baby boy?
What's his name?
Skyler.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, he's going to probably disconnect us right now.
Hi.
What's up, Bubba? What? Who's that? Whoa.
Canadians.
The Canadians. Whoa, that's what Canadians look like?
That's great, man. My friends, they have
kids.
They have kids, a boy and a girl.
Oh, no.
And a boy and a girl, and it's funny because they say that the boy is always so much more calm, and like your boy looks very calm too. He's very chilled out. Just, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, he's very chill.
Yeah.
And then like this girl that he hangs out with, she like smothers him and like you know, they're the same age. We're like, okay, slow your roll, you know.
Take it easy.
So
that's awesome. That is good.
Anyways, what else is going on?
My best friend just had a baby. I just went to go see it yesterday. See the baby.
Everyone, you got to hold the baby.
I held it. Yeah. I held it. And, you know, I shaking it. And,
shaking it.
Rocking it. put it right to sleep. I speak baby, so. Put it right to bed. It was nice. It's a nice baby to have.
Babies pick up your vibes, I think.
I believe it. They can feel it.
They could feel it. Like, if you're bad, like, if you got bad energy and stuff, they're not gonna want to be around you. I could tell it with my boy. If I'm off, like, he'll wait till I calm down or just become present, which is really fascinating. Huh, Bubba?
I totally believe in the feeling. Like, I swore in front of the baby, and then I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I swore in front of the baby?
And when then Jake's like, oh, don't worry, it's not a big deal. But I'm like, I don't want to. I'm like, they can feel, like, the energy and the vibe. Like,
now he's going to remember you for being
like
that
like,
guy.
Like, I don't want to be – I don't want to put that out there, even though it's just silly words. I was like, I don't want to put out any, like –
negative
bad energy, because I know that they can feel it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your intentions weren't malicious behind it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's a big difference, you know.
And I love the baby, and I bought the baby some baby shoes.
What's the baby's name?
The baby.
Oh, baby. Hi.
My buddy is a Nike head, and he's like, What size shoe can I get your son? And I was like, why? He's like, well, I got hookups on Nikes. I'm gonna get him some Jordans. And I was like, don't, because he did that for my other friend, and my friend's baby now is like, you know, how old's Logan? Four. And that's all he'll wear is Jordans. I'm like, I can't afford Jordans every 6 months.
Get him the Velcro joints.
He's hooked for life on Jordans.
Oh, dude, I'm like, please don't get him Jordans. Get him some flip-flops or something.
It's sort of weird because the babies can't. The baby, like, I got the baby, like, size threes. Like, it'll never walk in them.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's just to protect their feet, yeah.
It doesn't even do that, bro. All you need is socks. That's what we learned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's all they really needed. I knew it when I bought it, but I was like, I don't know. Like, I got to get the baby something. And what do you get a baby?
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
I don't know. So I was like, I'll just get us some shoes. And I know that they're like, the tread is never going to be get worn out on them. So like, the baby can't walk for that size.
Did you feel comfortable holding the baby?
Yeah. I got some younger sisters. So I've done the whole hold babies, hold change baby. Diapers.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal to me.
Yeah. I wasn't. No, what's that?
I'm a natural.
They're natural. That's cool. I wasn't comfortable or as comfortable until I had my boy. And now I'm like with other kids, like, you know, you just
know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kids always like me because, you know, I could be goofy and funny and stuff like that. But now I'm like more genuine, I guess. It's just a lot easier.
Well, you go into full daddy mode and you know what to do now.
Yeah. Well,
you got experience.
I wouldn't go that far, but learning.
No more than me, that's for sure.
You hear him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's cool. He says dada and mama. Pizza. He said pizza. We don't know if he really said it or not, but it sure sounded like it.
Is he walking yet?
No, he's just about to start crawling. So he kind of crawls. He does a version of a scooch. But, yeah. So that should be coming up soon.
Did you guys hear that Rita McNeil died down in the States? Did that reach there?
Who's that?
Oh, man.
This is big Canadian news.
This is some Canadian news, man.
Yeah, it's a singer from the East Coast, and she gained fame like when she was about like in her 40s.
Okay.
And she's like the East Coast Canada sweetheart kind of thing. She's like an older woman.
Okay.
Very beautiful voice. I guess she'd sing like Celtic and Gaelic songs.
Oh, wow, cool.
I don't know what she sings. I've never listened to a single song she ever sang.
But yeah, she passed away this last week, and
it's big news in Canada.
It is.
Big news.
Yeah. It's like a local celebrity kind of thing passing away, so yeah. I remember listening to a lot of her music.
Cool. I never listened to anything. I made a joke the other day, but people are like, oh, it's too soon.
But the funniest, I could get a really dark sense of humor that I have barely anybody that I could share it with, because it's people, like, whenever someone's like too soon, I'm like, oh, it's got to be a good one, you know, like,
it's like, I don't think like anything, I don't know, maybe things could be too soon, but I always say funny is funny, and it doesn't matter when it is, but
I
know people are sensitive. So
when Amy Winehouse died, and after 30 days, I posted, congratulations to your first 30 days of sobriety. Dude, people were pissed, dude. They're like, that's messed up and blah, blah, blah. And it was, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny, but
I did that when Whitney Houston died.
Oh yeah.
Posted Whitney Houston's making a new movie, starring in a new movie called The Body Bag.
Oh. What's Kevin Costner's role in that one, dude?
I don't know.
He's corner?
The foot tag guy.
Yeah.
So
what was Whitney Houston's last hit? Her head off the bathtub. Oh!
I have no comment at all.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
I have no comment at all.
It's over.
I guess so.
Shoots, it's been an hour. So I think I got to go do some grocery shopping with the family.
Yeah,
man. Better done. Tell the family I say what up.
I will. And again, dude, thanks for, you know, doing the doco and being part of it and being such a good sport.
Yeah, man, definitely. I'm sure we'll work together on another project in the future, and
yeah.
I'll send you some business cards or whatever else.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, send those. I'm doing an event on the 30th of April. I'm not showing then, but if they get here, you know, I'll pass them around. It's a big networking thing here, and you know, it's LA, so it's where people make things happen. But if you get them out, I'll pass them out there. And always good to talk to you guys. And yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, let me know when you're putting a when you want to release your documentary. I'll make sure you get it up on the social media network.
Okay.
So people go and check it out.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah, watch it first. You might not like it. You'd be like, "Oh, I'm not sharing this one." That's
gorgeous. Well, I'm actually gonna watch it right now. So. I'm sure it's good. Listen, if you like it, I don't know. You got good taste. So James is a good editor. So, and it's only you know, 8 minutes and 6 minutes.
It's digestible. I think it's awesome. Of course, I'm gonna like it because it's, you know, I was involved with it. But
yeah,
I think it's good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, dude, the way you cut the camera one and camera two,
yeah,
is really, it's really good. Cause the guy who was filming me was like, he's like, "I've never met anyone who talks more with their hands than you do," you know? And yeah, like, I don't even realize that I talk with my hands, but you know, so when you're flashing between camera one and camera two,
yeah,
you could see me do all that weird stuff and blah blah blah, and you know, it's hard not to be self-conscious, you know, when you're watching yourself in HD.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
You know, you hear your voice, you know, and you're like, "Oh God, that's what I freaking sound like." Because in my head, I sound like a movie star, dude. And then I hear it, and I'm like, "Oh, that guy." So.
But yeah, man, I'm glad you liked it, man. Because I can only imagine like having to watch yourself, and then yeah, just for it to be like a good fair representation of who you are, you know. And that's, I'm glad that you like it, and it's good that it's like, you know, I think it's amazing. I think it's pretty cool. So
cool. Yeah. All right. Well,
what's the name of your thing you're putting together? Is it
Kude
Kude?
That's how you say it.
Kude kude. It's a Jamaican expression for "look at that."
Ah, kude kude.
Kude kude, man. Is that, yeah,
the worst Jamaican accent you've ever heard me just say right now?
It's all right. It's good.
So I'll Google that, and I'll practice. I'll hear people say that. But no, your logo's cool. I like the way that it shakes too. Like that. Yeah. That's really cool. And then, you know, so that's good.
Yeah, man. We'll talk and we'll do some more business in the future.
For sure. All right.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, Mr. Todoran. See you on Instagram.
Okay. Laters.
All right. See you then.